No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals and Captain Dennis. Yeah, we kind of have almost a full crew. Ed is running the headquarters back at home base. Is that right, Keith?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so
somebody's got to do that these days.
Yeah, okay, if you say so. I don't think it's necessary. I think crew, that's like on autopilot these days, isn't it?
I wish.
Yeah, I bet you do. But look, we got a lot of stuff to cover and navigate today as far as the latest aviation news and information. Quick little heads up. Next weekend is the AOPA fly-in in Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's September 14th and 15th at Santa Fe Municipal Airport. Tom Haynes from AOPA will be there. We plan to check in with him as our man on the street. And we'll have a live report for you possibly next Saturday on the show. But if you haven't planned to do it already, you can plan to go now. You got a week to prepare, and it's pretty easy. You're not doing this one, right, Dennis? But you're doing the one in October. Is that right?
Right. I'm going to be going down to Carbondale October 5th and 6th.
Okay.
So
we got that one.
Hotel.
And then,
yeah.
Then there's one in Gulf Shores after
right.
that. And that's around, that's the end of October, I believe. Am I right or no? When is that? Look it
yeah,
up.
I think
then.
It's the weekend before Halloween.
That's why I was going to say it's right by the NBAA show, which is going to be in Orlando this year, the National Business Aviation Air Show or Air Association Trade Show. And we're going to be there because it's at our airport.
That's right.
I say our like I own it. But, Ed and Keith run Flight Training Professionals, and you guys get shut down for the week.
No, we don't get shut down. We just get moved.
Moved.
Yeah, all of our airplanes get moved to the far corner of the field.
You get banished.
You get banished to
you're in exile for about a week and a half. Is that about it?
No, actually, longer. For about 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Jeez.
They start setting up October 7th.
Okay.
And the show is October 16th through the 18th.
All right. What do you think? We're going to see celebrities at that show this year?
Probably. There typically are.
Not in Orlando, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go, they're never there. I hear about him like, oh, you should have been here yesterday. We had John Travolta. Oh, the day before yesterday was Harrison Ford. Oh, that guy, the lead singer from Iron Maiden. Yeah, he was just here. You just missed him.
I've seen Harrison Ford there.
Right, I know. Yeah, but why haven't I?
They're all your friends. You ought to tell us. You
I'm
tell
thinking,
us why do your friends not want to see you?
Well, I'm just wondering if...
but yet they come see Ed and I.
They got a tracker on me and security.
You go.
Has,
here's your sign.
Right. Okay. I got to figure out a way to go incognito. I'm going to go as Ed. Maybe I could do that.
Well, the first thing you need to do is get your poster off the post office wall.
Well, that would be, but I look so good. It's a good photo. Anyway. All right. So we got a lot of air show type stuff coming up. And you can plan accordingly to join us on the show or just be there in person and might see us. You know, you might see Dennis. At the one in Carbondale, you might see us at the NBAA show. We'll have the I don't know. What are you gonna come into town for that one, Dennis? You ought to fly in for NBAA, and then we can go to Gulf Shores. How about that?
That might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we do that. Leave the plane down there, and then I can just hop, skip, and a jump over. I'll just fly commercial back home for work.
Okay, whatever it takes. Leave your plane here. I'll learn how to fly it. And while you're away.
You knew that was coming.
I'll borrow it for a day or
right.
two.
I'm not too worried. I don't even think he'd know how to start it.
Oh, that's not true. Actually, I can look that up on YouTube, can't I?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe you can play a flight simulator.
Right. Mooney 201, doing a search, YouTube. Yeah. Okay, got it. All right. Anyway, we'll plan accordingly. And you can call security if you need to, Dennis. But some other stuff that we talked about last week involved our new friend Gary, who gave us some ideas on how to streamline your IFR flight plan. And not only was that very, informational stuff that we had on the show last week, you actually put it into action and flew over to see Mount Rushmore this week. Is that right, Dennis?
Yep, I've been meaning to do that for many, many years. I haven't taken the kids out to go see that, and just decided, why not? It was a beautiful day on Saturday. The skies finally cleared up around noon, and so my daughter and I did a little day trip out to the Black Hills and back.
Right. And so you did what do you call it, track to the heads or something? What was it?
Well, yeah. Once we left Rapid City heading back home, we actually asked air traffic control for vectors to the heads. So after going up, driving up the mountain and going to the visitor center and everything, we actually did a flyby of it as well.
Yeah. All right. So if you do that to ATC, they're going to know what you mean if you say you want a track to the heads.
We want vectors to the heads.
Vectors to the heads. And they're going to understand exactly what you mean, no matter where you are in the country, or you got to be within like 100 miles of the monument. Well,
you say that down here.
They're going to go, excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to stay.
No, it's,
go to the
it's
back
something
of the airplane.
That the local, local air traffic control knows what you're asking for up there. So as we were picking up our IFR clearance out of Rapid City, we just asked them, said, hey, is it possible to get vectors to the heads before we, go direct our destination? They said,
right.
No problem at all.
Okay. So if you're in that general vicinity, you're going to sound way cooler if you say, I'd like vectors to the heads, right? Because it's a localized, okay, this guy's in the know. He's one
exactly.
of us. Okay. And you knew that lingo because of Captain Clay or what Gary said last week?
No, nope, because of Captain Clay. Captain Clay lives in that area as well, so he's a frequent visitor, I think, to the Rapid City Airport with his airplane.
Yeah. If we said vectors to the heads here, they would direct us to the nearest porta potty?
Probably.
Okay.
Very likely, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. When I first heard this lingo, I'm like, I don't know.
There's a lot of that in aviation.
Yeah, there is. And, you got to get hip to their jive. And that's, slowly but surely, that's even sinking into, people like me. Yeah. What are you looking at me like that for? Come on. I can speak the lingo, or at least attempt to. But I, he sent me a picture of him and his daughter at at Mount Rushmore, and it was kind of cool. It looked like a beautiful day for it, for sure. And you get
how fun is that?
Just get up
at noon and hey, we're let's go.
A real spur of the moment kind of thing, though, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we didn't really plan it out. We woke up and the weather was kind of overcast and some mist and things like that, and didn't look that great. And come noon, all of a sudden, I'm looking at the forecast going, it's actually pretty nice. I'd hate to waste this on a holiday weekend. Let's go.
Yeah.
So
now, when you fly,
later,
when they give you directions to fly or vector to the heads, do you actually get to fly directly over it?
Yeah. We were going right over the visitor center and parking area.
Yeah. But you got to maintain a altitude of what?
So it's mountainous territory there. So we actually were cleared up to 10,000 feet.
Okay. So that means,
above the ground, we were probably still at least 3,000 feet above the ground at that point.
Mm, okay. All right. But so you're close enough for sure. But there's TFR around Mount Rushmore, I guess. I mean, I don't know what else you could do or why they'd need it other than crowds and stuff. But you can actually fly over, get pictures and all that kind of stuff. Did you take any pictures from the airplane?
We tried, but unfortunately, at the time that we were leaving, the sun was right behind the mountain, and so it was really just a lot of glare. It didn't turn out that great, but
yeah,
still, we can say we did it.
Yeah. What do you think, Keith? Have you done that? Have you done the Mount Rushmore?
I have not.
Is it on your list?
It is now.
Well, there you go. I mean, what about traffic? Was there a lot of traffic in the area or no?
No, the only other airplane that we even saw was one of the tourist helicopters that gives rides around it. So I was really surprised. There was very little activity going on up there. In fact, we were cleared to land about 5 miles out from the Rapid City Airport.
Mm-hmm. And this was on Labor Day, wasn't it? This past Monday?
It was on Labor Day Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Saturday. Okay. It was in the afternoon. Okay, gotcha. Well, that's
pretty
awesome.
Right after the show aired, we were gone.
That is very, very cool. So, that would be quite a trip. And did you you flew out there, you got a tourist hamburger? They have little vendor things there at the monument, I guess, don't they?
Yeah, we actually did have to hit the gift shop. My daughter, bless her heart, we're driving up the hill and you can see it from the monument from the side of the road. She's like, okay, I've seen it, you want to go back now? Mm-hmm. You know, just joking. But so we went into the gift shop, had to get a couple of t-shirts, you know, just to prove to everybody back home that we were there.
Right. Yeah, one of those t-shirts with Mount Rushmore, but the additional monument of Trump being on either side.
No, I got one that said Sturgis and on the front and Mount Rushmore on the back. I got a twofer that way.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, that sounds like a fun trip right there. What do you think?
That's Keith? Why we have airplanes. That's, you know, this is one of the reasons I bought the plane. I wanted to be able to just go do something crazy like that. Go down to Florida and go dive with you, or go to Mount Rushmore because we've been saying we're going to do it. If we would have drove, it'd have been an entire weekend,
right?
10 hours each way. And here we did a round trip in an afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, about 3 hours each way, right?
Yep.
From where you were, it's on my list now too. So pick me up next time you go. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne, for pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? But you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Oh, down there, the morning made us sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today. All right, so Dennis flew to Mount Rushmore last week. Pretty cool adventure. And, you know, we had Gary on last week, who is a, I don't know, what was his title exactly? He had so many. It was kind of crazy, Dennis.
Well, he's a certified trainer. I mean, he will teach you how to use your equipment in your airplane to the best of its advantages.
Exactly. And, I mean, Keith is like that, too. You do that, right?
Well, I certainly attempt to.
Yeah. I mean, are you...
I'm not proficient in everything.
Well, okay, certain airplanes.
Yeah.
All right. So, but the main tip Gary gave last week that helped you, Dennis, was what exactly?
Well, what I went back through some of the video course that I had purchased from Gary several months ago and used that as a chance to just kind of review some of the tips on IFR planning in there. And one of the tips that he had spelled out was how to use the vertical navigation features. So when we were flying back home, air traffic control had us all the way up at 11,000 feet. And so we were just, you know, tooling along back to Minneapolis, and air traffic control calls us up and says, hey, when you get 35 miles from Minneapolis, we need you at 5,000 feet. They didn't say start your descent immediately. So it was, you know, on cap, you know, pilot's discretion. So you can either sit and do all the math in your head and calculate when you need to start that descent, or you can, you know, drop right now and then drive in low. Well, turns out the Avidyne's got the ability to calculate all that for you. So I went into the flight management menu and was able to set up a distance from the airport and an altitude, and the system actually popped up on the screen with a top of descent marker and reminded me, you know, with a 10-second countdown before I needed to start the descent to do a perfect glide, you know, a nice stable descent right into to make that crossing restriction.
Love it.
So it was so nice. Instead of, you know, going through all the mental math in your head and all these little rules of thumb to try to calculate, you know, okay, I got 6,000 feet to lose. I need to start, you know, how many miles back to lose that at 500 feet a minute. Just let the computer do it for you. Put in the restriction. The system will just tell you when to start your descent, and you fly a nice stable pattern, and you can focus on flying the airplane instead of doing all the math in the airplane, you know, now, in your head. And
yeah. And I got to tell you, I can see Keith. He just loves it when pilots do this. Is that right?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do it all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, oh, you shouldn't rely on your computer so much like that.
Well, if you do it all the time, then your brain goes, you know, numb, and then you won't be able to figure it out anymore.
Right.
But
so.
But no, we teach people how to do both ways.
All right. They should be able to do the math, but eventually, you know.
But the G1000 system.
Does that?
The autopilot will do it all for you.
Really? Okay. So.
You just set it up. Hit vertical nav.
At what point can we go through this and, like, when I'm getting my flight training done, that I can just skip that part and just say, what would the computer do?
You got to do it all first.
I got to do the manual stuff first.
Got to do it first.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's good to know how to do the manual stuff, because for me, being it was the first time I had ever done it, was I going to put blind trust in the system that I did it right or didn't, you know, have to hit a checkbox somewhere?
Yeah.
No. But what was great is I kind of calculated in my head where I think I needed to start my descent, and all of a sudden I look at the map on the screen, and it says TOD for top of descent.
Like, yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that. And within a couple of miles of where I figured we should be. So I'm going to start, you know, leveraging that automation now a lot more in my flying, which I think will make me a better pilot.
Well, sure. It'll reassure you of what you're, you know, doing those mental figurings for, I guess, right? Yeah, and make you feel better about the whole thing. Like, okay, yeah, it's backing me up. If they divert drastically, then that's when the red flag would go up, and you'd say, okay, wait a minute, what's going on? What did I miscalculate? But it feels good if it's, you know, close to what you thought it would be anyway, right?
Yeah,
okay. Right.
That makes
it just gives you that nice warm fuzzy that, hey, you know.
I'm a genius.
We're right. Look at me.
Yeah, exactly. And, I, you know, that happens to me quite a bit. I'll usually yell it out loud. I'm a genius!
It's a good backup, too, in case you get busy doing something else, getting radio calls or something, or some other kind of abnormality or emergency comes up, and you forget to make that descent.
Yeah, that would it'd just be a little extra, you know, peace of mind.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, it's nice because, you know, the Avidyne just pops up a little box in the bottom right-hand corner, said, you know, just begin descent, you know, 8, 7, 6, you know, get the countdown. So, yeah, it's a great reminder so you don't miss that crossing restriction, or you're not suddenly chopping the power and descending at 1,500 feet a minute to make that, you know, that crossing restriction in 5 miles, which
right.
is just not safe.
And where is the line? I see that's what I was alluding to at the beginning of this little chat there, Keith, of the computers making us stupid, because that's why I thought you were going to say, like, I don't like them doing that. That's just for training. So once you... you know, go through the book learning and figuring out when you have to do this and kind of can do the figures, you know, in your head, or, you know, jot them down like, okay, I'm going to have to do this. You got to work through the problem. But eventually the computer will end up doing this for you and you don't have to think about it. It's like dive tables and dive computers when we're scuba diving.
Right.
And
it,
so
it's the same type of thing. You know, the privates, we typically teach them how to do it all manually.
Yeah.
And then as you get into the instrument training, then we start showing them a little bit more of what the automation will do. And we'll teach them how to do that. Because it's a, it does help with the load management.
Right.
You know? So,
but it isn't going to make you stupider.
Well, if you don't ever do the calculations, then you'll forget how to do it.
Yeah. So you should mix it up every now
and then. You
should,
yeah.
Okay. If you're a good little flying doobie.
That's right.
Yeah. But
because the automation can break.
Yeah, you don't want that.
That computer can go out at any time, so you've got to be prepared. And just because your computer's gone doesn't mean ATC is not going to give you a crossing restriction.
Right.
And the more we get into going direct, the more crossing restrictions you're going to get.
Yeah. And a good excuse is you can't say, hey, my brain is broken.
Right.
Sorry. you're going to have to talk me in. Talk me down, folks.
And they frown on it when you forget or if you're not going to make that restriction because you started down too late.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is especially with a piston-powered airplane, you don't want to pull the power back too far because you'll shock cool the engines.
Which means
you have a high temperature at cruise,
yeah,
and then you pull the power back, you take away a lot of that heat because the engine's not turning it at such a high RPM.
Mm-hmm.
And so it cools down rapidly.
And could crack the cylinder head or something.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I knew that. How about that? Where's my banana? There you go. Caught it right in my mouth. Do you see that?
Yeah, I did.
That was great. I'm a genius. I don't know if that counts for that shout out, but I'm going to take what I can get. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm going to fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're going to fly high without fear, you're going to have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you got to learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. We just lost one. Dennis fell out of the virtual airplane. And
he's skydiving without a chute.
I was just going to say, I still see three chutes here. He could have a problem, so we're not sure if he's going to make it back or not. Now, he had a little minor family emergency he had to split and take care of, so we'll see how that unfolds. Nothing major, but family first here at Just Plane Radio. So we say go take care of it, and Keith and I will soldier along.
Yes, we will.
Through the latest aviation news and information, which brings us to this announcement from Garmin, who picked up flightplan.com last week, which is what exactly? What does this mean?
Flightplan.com is a flight plan service, free service or a paid service. So
yeah.
You can subscribe to it and you can file your flight plans in there. You can put your aircraft information in there and put in the information and it'll file your flight plan.
Okay.
A lot of us, you know, ForeFlight, you're familiar with ForeFlight.
Right. Yeah.
ForeFlight does it for you. Flightplan.com was a precursor. They've been doing it a lot longer than ForeFlight.
Right. So that's what we had before ForeFlight came along.
Yes.
But if you're not a ForeFlight subscriber, maybe you stuck with this system. And
I still use flightplan.com a lot.
Okay. So you think this is a good thing? And Garmin was wanted to pick this up so they could just bypass that whole, ForeFlight thing or what?
Well, I think the In my opinion, this is just a personal opinion.
Yeah.
You know, Garmin has a flight plan system as well, kind of like ForeFlight, but it's not as good.
Okay.
And flight plans is better. And so I think if Garmin can use the flightplan.com format, it will make Garmin's, on par with ForeFlight.
Okay. So they're just looking to compete, make it kind of like everything's under one umbrella. Like Garmin seems to be doing that kind of stuff. They like to keep you in their little community, right?
But flightplan.com offers a whole lot more than just out doing flight plans as well. So
we'll have to see what they do with it. But there you go. That's the latest Garmin flight plan information. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
J- Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's rattling back there?
I don't know what this thing is.
My controls. Roger that. Is that tow bar come loose?
Well, I don't know. Is this the tow bar?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, sorry, hey, bag. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I got it. Sorry, I got it.
Peanut brittle. Could this day get any better?
No! Oh, God. No!
Get the tow bar off the yoke!
No, it's stuck between the seat!
I got it!
Stay with us, Gus! Oh, my God, those cheekbones. You look like JFK Jr. Oh, he looks like JFK Jr.!
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, put it on autopilot! Put it on autopilot!
There is no autopilot. This is a lawnmower with wings.
Well, you fly remote control planes. Do what you do there!
I crash them! That's why I buy all the time! Oh, I was wrong. I don't want to die this way. Oh, I'll settle for a nice, boring death at ground level.
Well, technically, we will be dying at ground level!
I got it!
Okay.
We're good.
All right, just so you know, I completely kept my cool through that whole thing.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. Dennis is threatening to join us before we wrap up today's virtual cruise to the latest aviation news and information, because he has a story with a friend of his, either him or his friend, has some event involving women in aviation and that organization. So we're going to get to the bottom of that, find out if he's considering, a change in his life. And, we're not here to judge. But we're going to find out what's going on with that momentarily. In the meantime, I came across this story that I wanted to bounce off of Keith, and maybe we'll all learn together. And it involves...
That means that you think I know what I'm talking about.
Well, if you don't know the answer, just make up something that sounds good, like I'll know any better.
All right.
Maintenance flights, or flights after you do an annual. AOPA put out this article talking about sometimes, they call them... they're maintenance test flights, and sometimes they're being misused or mislabeled to troubleshoot a potential problem. But it made me start thinking, isn't that the most common time when you potentially could have a problem with your airplane is, after the annual, after they tear the plane apart and do some stuff, and the first flight after you've had this done might be the time where something didn't get put back together just right or something, the mechanic didn't quite get it right, do you have you had those kind of scenarios, Keith, or no?
I have had those scenarios,
yeah.
And so anytime an airplane comes out of a maintenance shop,
right,
just like your car, you want to do a pretty thorough look around on your car or your airplane.
Mm-hmm.
The car is easy. You can pull over the side of the road to the airplane. Not so easy. So you want to make sure that all the inspection panels are put back together properly. The screws are all tight so that they don't back out during flight.
Yeah.
So, take some time and go through everything and make sure it's done and done right.
So the pre-flight is even more important to be super thorough after one of those type of service.
Absolutely. I've found airplanes where they've taken an inspection panel off and forgotten to put it back on.
Well, that's not good.
So, it's just a small 4-inch hole, but, it's got to be on the airplane.
Yeah.
And so,
Now, what did you do in that case? Did you go back to the mechanic and say, hey, dude, what's up, man?
Yep.
Yeah?
You just have them do it. I mean, they're human, too. They're going to make mistakes.
Okay.
So, So it's nothing to get riled up about.
All right. But their reaction was, no! And then you never went to Homer Simpson for your annual maintenance again.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. So, but, you have to do a maintenance test flight anytime the airplane has appreciably changed. So, for instance, if you have a flight control surface that has been changed, you got to do a maintenance test flight afterwards.
Okay, so like when Dennis did his Avidyne upgrade.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily require a test flight.
No?
I guess it kind of would, because it could appreciably change the
This whole panel.
The panel, but it doesn't change the flight characteristics of the airplane.
Mm, okay.
That doesn't mean it's not going to change the way it flies at all.
Got it.
So flight controls could. They could have not aligned just right,
mm-hmm.
and so you would have to do that. But you cannot carry passengers on that flight.
Yeah.
And the airplane has to be signed off as being airworthy.
Has to be airworthy. So what happens, though, and this is something they mentioned in the article, is like you go up with a mechanic and you're trying to find a problem that's happening intermittently and you can't duplicate the issue unless you get it up in the air. You know what I mean? You've had that scenario, right?
No, not really.
Really?
I haven't, no. Typically, if you got a good mechanic, he can figure out what's going on. The important thing is to, on the ground, yes.
Yeah.
The important thing is to, if you have a problem while you're flying, document what's going on when you're having the problem.
Okay.
Give the maintenance guys as much information as you possibly can. Especially nowadays, you can take pictures or videos.
Right.
To let them know what's going on. Sounds that you're hearing or, you know, what's really happening. And give them all the appropriate information. Oil temperatures, oil pressures, cylinder head temperatures, EGTs, you know, depending on what you've got on your airplane.
Okay.
Give them all that information so that it gives them more information to help diagnose the problem.
Got it. Because you really don't want to do that kind of flight, I'm guessing.
No, you really don't. And it's illegal because if you're saying that you got a problem with the airplane,
mm-hmm.
that makes the airplane unairworthy. And unless the maintenance technician has signed off as being an airworthy airplane, you can't fly that airplane until that squawk has been removed.
Hmm.
So
who creates the squawk? You?
The pilot.
He says, okay, I had this problem, and the squawk, you have to report that to who?
You write it down. You tell the maintenance guy.
Okay. You got to put it down in your airworthiness journal?
Well, it depends on what kind of an operation you're running. If it's your own personal operation, no, you don't have to do anything. You just bring it to the mechanic, say, hey, I got this problem.
Yeah.
You know, flaps won't work or whatever.
Right.
In our operation, it goes
much more strict.
It's more strict, so it goes into our system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the airplane can't even be dispatched until that's been cleared.
Right, which would make sense for a flight training school, like you have flight training professionals. That'd be professional.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do it the professional way.
Mm-hmm.
So in some things, there are some things that can be deferred. So if you go into your equipment list on your airplane,
mm-hmm.
it'll tell you what's required for day, night, instrument, and VFR conditions.
Okay.
It'll tell you what's installed and what's required.
But say, like, the other scenario is, like, you got a problem with the airplane, but you got to get it to this other mechanic at a different airport. So that is considered, is that considered one of these maintenance test flights, too? Or no?
If you just take it over there, it would be an illegal flight. If the airplane's not airworthy, you need to get what's called a ferry permit.
Okay. So you got to get a ferry permit.
And so you apply to your FISDO for that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's different ways you could do it. It's some companies, if you have like a charter company or an airline, they have their own ferry permits that they can do.
Yeah.
With certain criteria that they have to meet in order to be able to do it. But for the typical owner-operator, he's going to apply to the FISDO for a ferry permit. And a maintenance technician still has to sign it off that the airplane's airworthy for one flight.
Hmm.
And you can do that one flight to get it from wherever you're at to the airport you need to get it fixed.
Got it. So ideally, you don't want to be in that scenario because it's a big paperwork nightmare kind of thing, isn't it?
It's not a nightmare.
But it's a headache.
It takes time, and it's just... Yeah.
So ideally, you know, you'd be able to be at your home airport and get it fixed. But if you're out, you know, flying about and something happens to your airplane, you might get in that scenario.
If there's nobody there to work on it, nobody can help you out there, you might get into that.
Yeah. But the overall thing is that after you've had some maintenance done or something get fixed, make sure you do an extra thorough walk around for your airplane before you fly it. And then if you do realize that there's a problem, hopefully it happened in the run-up or something like that, but if you get in the air and you realize something's happened, what do? You just land as quick as you can and say, okay, fix it again or what?
Typically run your checklist.
Yeah.
Take it back in, bring it back to the maintenance guy, say we got another problem.
Yeah.
And you start the process all over again.
Mm-hmm. And usually you get it on the first time for you, or have you had to go back?
No, we've had to go back a couple times.
Yeah. But that can't be very reassuring when you get up there and realize, oh, daggone it, it's doing again.
Well, it depends on what the problem is. We had an airplane that was registering a too high of a exhaust gas temperature, or sorry, cylinder head temperature. Mm-hmm. And so when you try and figure out exactly what the problem is, you might go in there and find that there's baffling that was broke. And so they fix the baffling, and they sign it off as airworthy.
Yeah.
And you go back and you fly it again and you go, nope, it's still doing it. Okay, mm-hmm. So it wasn't the broken baffling that was a problem. Now it's something else.
Got it.
So that would just be an example of how it would work.
Okay.
But it has to be signed off as airworthy for you to go ahead and do the flight to test it.
By the mechanic.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'm just going to leave those maintenance test flights to you.
Well, thank you.
And the mechanic. And once you feel it's totally airworthy, I'm good to go, okay?
Oh, okay. I'll do it.
More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly it in the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a big jet plane.
Hey, hey. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. Hey, hey. Captain Dennis has come back on, which means we had to dump Keith off. To keep our weight and balance in check. So, you know, it is what it is. And, Dennis, you have this event you're going to participate in that involves girls in aviation or women in aviation. What is it exactly?
It's the Girls in Aviation Day, and it's happening September 22nd at the Flying Cloud Airport in Minneapolis.
Uh-huh. So in your neck of the woods, and we have Dawn from that organization with us on Just Plane Radio right now. How are you, Dawn? Welcome.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So what are you going to be doing at this event exactly, Dawn?
Well, this is the fourth year that we have held this event here in Minneapolis. And this year we're having it at Flying Cloud, like he had said. And Premier Jet Center is hosting our event. We'll have about 30 different exhibitors there. They will have different hands-on activities for the kids, all different aspects of aviation, different career opportunities. And then we're also looking at having a number of aircraft that are there. We're looking at anywhere from 15 to 25 static aircraft for people to take a look at.
Including a Mooney 201, I believe. Is that right, Dennis?
Absolutely. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So what exactly are you going to be doing at the event yourself, Dennis? What? How are you tied in?
Well, I'm going to be making the Mooney available in one way or another, either having it available as a static display that we can let young girls get in and actually sit in an airplane and look at it, feel it, touch it, you know, make aviation approachable. Or if there's a need for it, I'll even be willing to do Young Eagles flights and take them up in the Mooney.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds like a good thing. And Dawn, how did you get involved with the organization?
Women in Aviation is an international organization that I've been involved with for many years. I first heard about it when I was in college at Embry-Riddle back in the 90s. And when I moved here to Minneapolis in 2011, the chapter was just restarting and went to an interest meeting. I served on the board of directors for about 5 years and have helped with the Girls in Aviation Day all 4 years that we've had it. And it's been a wonderful, great way to meet people in the community. It's been awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the idea is just bring more women, ladies into the industry. Or just turn them on to flying.
Encourage women in aviation and aerospace. We have scholarship opportunities available, the networking, the mentorship. We, as a chapter, have events once a month into different locations. We've done everything from tours of the air traffic control facilities here in town, the fire stations over at MSP, the 3M hangar tours, all sorts of fun stuff that we do.
Excellent. And Dawn, what about you personally? What are you, a pilot, I assume? Are you a trainer and everything too, or what?
I am a pilot. I started off my career or expectations. I went to Embry-Riddle, got my degree in aeronautical science, went through all my flight certificates, was a corporate pilot in my early 20s, and then had the opportunity. The FAA called me and offered me a job as an air traffic controller initially at Memphis Center. And so I've been an air traffic controller since 2000. And have worked at Memphis Center, Fort Worth Center, and now I'm at Minneapolis TRACON.
Excellent. All right. So, you know, she sounds very articulate. She sounds like the person when I'm flying an airplane and tells me what to do, I just do it automatically, even though I'm the pilot in command and I'm not supposed to. But when a woman tells me to do something, I do it. You hear what I'm saying there, Dawn?
Yeah. Our joke here at the house, my husband's a pilot with Delta, is I tell him where to go at home and at work.
Yeah. That's funny because my wife tells me where to go all the time.
So does he use the phrase unable, or is that not allowed at your home?
On occasion, but not often.
Yes. So do you have a plane, too? Are you flying personally or no?
We do not own an aircraft. Mm-hmm. I work with in-flight aviation over here at Flying Cloud, and I'm checked out in several of their aircraft and get to fly for fun anymore.
Nice. Okay. Well, but you get to, you know, people like Dennis will take you up in his Mooney every now and then, I would imagine, if you asked him.
Absolutely. I did my instrument and commercial and CFI in a Mooney. I'd love to get back in one.
How about that? All right. So you got a few planes that are
welcome anytime.
And you do have about, you said, what, 15 planes there are going to be on site? You said something like that?
We absolutely have 15 confirmed right now. We've got about 10 others that we're waiting on the final confirmation. So we're actually hoping to have closer to 25 aircraft. Everything from Moonies and Cessnas. We've got Cargill bringing out their Challenger. It'll be a last-minute confirmation, but Endeavor, the last 2 years, has brought out a regional jet to the event for the attendees to go through and feel and touch and sit in the cockpit and explore the aircraft. So hopefully we'll have another regional jet out this year. Possibility of a C-130. We're working on that with the Guard. We'll have a Black Hawk helicopter, L-39, some of the T-6s. It'll be a great variety of aircraft.
Okay, so most of them will be static, but there'll be some that'll say, hey, you want to go up for a ride? We'll take you, kind of thing, maybe?
Our organization doesn't do flights at our events. However, I do know the Young Eagles will be carrying on an event very close to ours on the same day out at Flying Cloud as well. So the Young Eagles will be out there flying.
Okay. And, you know, if you bring, you know, Dennis, Captain Dennis, like a, I don't know, a slushy, what do you need to be paid off for him to take a flight? There, Dennis.
I work with Diet Coke. Works really well for me.
There you go. Perfect. And if people wanted more information about this event, I would assume they can go someplace on the web. Can't they, Dawn?
Yeah.
Where?
Absolutely. The website for the event is girlsinaviationdaymn.com. We do ask people to register. It is a free event, but the registration gives us an idea of exactly how many we are expecting. Last year, we had over 2,000 registered, and we're expecting similar numbers again this year.
Well, there you go. You're going to be there for both days, Dennis. Is that the plan with the Mooney?
It's just a one-day event, but yes, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, why did I think it was two? It's just that one Saturday, right?
We'll be working out there Friday getting ready.
Okay, that's what it was. Saturday. See, I wasn't totally wrong.
It should be a wonderful opportunity for people to explore aviation, a lot of hands-on activities, and good times.
Well, good times indeed. And we'll end it at that. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.